Good morning. Welcome along to Murray Grace Fellowship. It's Sunday morning once again. These Sundays come round so quick. So good to have you with us for our Sunday service. Still live on the internet. Still not meeting, unfortunately. Or still not meeting face-to-face, unfortunately. But we are meeting here. And if you're part of the MGF family, we've been meeting all week and we will be meeting next week. So church doesn't end just because you can't get into a building, my friends. Church is the people. Comes from that word ecclesia, means the body, means the people. That's what church is. Not the building, but the people. So people, welcome this morning. So good to see some of you joining already. Joining us here in the northeast of Scotland. Lovely weather at the moment. We don't have snow in this part of the world. Well, where I am, some of the others in the fellowship do have snow, but we don't. But it's great to have you on this bright Sunday morning. Thank you for joining us. We are going to have a message real soon. We're going to look at the word and see how that's going to encourage us this morning. We will receive an offering. I say receive. It's been coming in during the week and it will continue to come in. But we'll pray for our offerings. And then we'll take communion together to close our service. So I want to start with part of a psalm. Start of Psalm 34. I do like starting a service with a psalm. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Very important that, at all times, not just when the times are good, not just when we're feeling happy, but all times. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I really hope that we can do that this morning. That together we can magnify the name of the Lord. We can exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that we're here this morning. I thank you that we're able to come here and magnify your name and exalt your name through looking at your word together, through taking communion together. I thank you that we are assembling ourselves this morning. We are building each other up. We are learning more about you, Father, more about Jesus and the Holy Spirit through your word. So I thank you for our time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. When we remember, if we're in church on a Sunday, we try and remember birthdays. Not for the ones during the week, but if it's on the Sunday, if it's on the day of the service, we do try and remember birthdays. And today I got a wee reminder yesterday from someone that it is Sean's birthday this morning. So happy birthday, Sean, whatever you're doing to celebrate. I hope you have a really good day. I hope Carol treats you well. So happy birthday, sir. If you don't know who Sean is, you need to log on to our website or go on to my YouTube channel and check out the discussions that myself and Sean have been having recently. You'll see Sean there. So myself and Sean have been having a few discussions online and they've been really great. So if you don't know Sean, go and have a look. He's a pretty intelligent guy. But anyway, happy birthday, Sean. Hope you have a great day. Now it's time to get into the word. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truths held within. I thank you for the teaching that we had on Thursday night at our Bible study about the word being a seed, about being incorruptible, about being perfect, designed to go into our hearts and produce fruit. So I thank you for these seeds that we're about to plant. I thank you for scripture that talks about the seed. Thank you for the parable of the sower. And in accordance with that, I pray now for understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen away. Understanding so that these seeds can find good ground, can germinate, can grow, can be really fruitful in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Let me just switch on my iPad again. There we go. So I am going to carry on in my wee series about whosoever this morning, but I'm going to go in a slightly different direction. I want to look at another word, another phrase that is applicable to us as whosoevers. And I want to highlight a wonderful truth that we have being a whosoever under the new covenant. I mean, hopefully by now you'll all know that we live under the new covenant. We don't live under the old covenant. We live under grace, not under law. And there are some real truths and some real differences about how we can now live, what we now have under the new covenant compared to the old covenant. So I want to have a little look at one of these things this morning. Now, I have to be completely honest, be completely upfront. I have stolen this message from someone else at MGF. We've been having loads of online communion on a regular basis since the start of lockdown in last March, 10 months ago. And we have a core section of people who are helping to lead those communions. I haven't been doing them for a while. So Michelle, Sean, Evelyn have been leading communions. And this message is based upon a communion that Michelle gave a couple of weeks ago. It was a communion that really got my attention, and I've taken loads of copious notes as ever. And as soon as Michelle was finished, I looked at my notes and I said, there's a message in there, Michelle. Now, I wasn't if that was for Michelle to do a message or not, I'm not sure, but hey, I've taken my notes, I've kind of stolen what Michelle said, so I've given Michelle credit once, so now it's my revelation after this. So here it is, Michelle. Thanks for the inspiration for this message. So turn with me to part of the Old Covenant. Turn with me to Joshua. And go right to the start, Joshua 1. And I think I'll read to about verse 9. Now, when I read this yesterday, I was studying out of Esword on my laptop. And Esword had this entitled, God Commissions Joshua. So let's see what it says. Joshua 1:1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I shall not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Lots of great truths in here. But I want to focus on one particular phase. One particular phrase. I want to focus on whithersoever thou goest. Love that. Good old King James. Whithersoever thou goest, wherever you go. Verse 7 talks about prospering whithersoever thou goest. Verse 9 talks about God being with them whithersoever thou goest. Now, we need to make something clear here. This is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And when it talks about God being with them whithersoever thou goest, this is not actually the presence of God. Now, that might surprise some of you. He was actually not present with them wherever they went. We know that under the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit came and went, rested upon people, then left. We know the tabernacle was the dwelling place of the Lord God Almighty. Now, that's different to what we have under the New Covenant. More on that later. But this phrase, God being with them wherever they goest, this is about being in covenant with them, having a covenant relationship, agreeing with them, supporting them. He was for them. Let me try and explain that a little bit more. For those of you that were watching last week, you will have noticed that Nunzi was sitting right next to me last week, just before the service. When we started, Nunzi was sitting next to me. She was with me in terms of her presence. She was actually sitting here with me by my side. But when I delivered the message, she was not sitting here. She was actually in the living room. But when I delivered the message, she was there in the living room supporting me, hoping I did well, wanting me to do well, wanting the best for me. In that sense, she was with me. Do you get that? With me in terms of support, agreement, and relationship, but not actually sitting here. See, God was with Joshua and the rest of the people in the Old Covenant, in terms of a covenant. He wanted them to succeed. He made them promises. He put the provision in place. Yet they had to do well. They had to perform. They had works to do, obeying the law. For example, look at verse 7 again. Speaks of them being prosperous, but with conditions. And this is, of course, commonplace under the Old Covenant. What we read there is, be strong, be courageous, observe the law, stick to the law, don't go to the right, don't go to the left, don't deviate at all, then thou shalt find success, and then thou shalt be prosperous. See, it was a classic Old Covenant thing there. You will succeed if you do what I tell you. You will succeed if you do what the law says. If you don't, you will be cursed. That's what they were living under at that time. The Jewish nation, classic Old Covenant, had to stick by the law. It was works orientated, and blessings were delivered through those works. And the Lord was with them in terms of these covenant promises, in terms of supporting them and wanting the best for them. But there was no actual, constant presence when Joshua was wandering about, or whoever was wandering about. The Lord wasn't with them in that sense. I hope you're kind of getting that, because it's important when we get to the New Covenant. And then we can look and see what it's like in the Gospels. Obviously, it must have been much better then, because Jesus was actually with them. But you know what, guys? It was just one man. And he was a man. Yes, all man, all God. But when he was walking on the earth, he walked as a man. And we see Jesus healing people. We see Jesus delivering people. We see Jesus laying hands on people, using all kind of methods to deliver healing. Okay, you could say he healed at a distance, yes, but it was always at the instigation of another person, like the centurion, for example. We see people getting into the presence of Jesus. Yes, we do see him going to see people. We see him going to see the Samaritan woman at the well, going to see the invalid at the Pool of Bethesda. But most of the times we see people coming to Jesus, looking for him, trying to find his presence, trying to be in his presence. For example, go to Luke. Luke 9 and verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thou whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his back to the plough, his hand to the plough, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I don't want to go into detail into that passage, because there's actually so many difficult things to explain there. But what I want to show you was that the people had to follow Jesus. The people went to be with Jesus. The people had to follow whithersoever he goest. In order to be in that presence of Jesus, they had to follow him. They had to go to him. They had to be with him. That was how it had to be in the Gospels when Jesus was on earth. People had to follow him, get to him, go whithersoever he went in order to be with him. And remember, he's just one man. Now, I remember one time being in a men's Bible study and someone said, Oh, Vic, it must have been great to be around at the time of Jesus. It must have been so much easier. It must have been so much better. And I thought, no, it wouldn't. Because he was one guy. He used to go off into the mountains to be on his own. We see crowds trying to find him. Going round lakes to try and find him when he's in the mountains. It would have been great if you were with him. But not if you weren't. I need to find him, I need to find him, I need to try and where is he today, where is he tomorrow? To be in the presence of the Lord was quite difficult. Sometimes you just couldn't go with him. So under the old covenant, there were rules and regulations people had to follow. If they did not obey, they were not blessed. In the Gospels, they had to find and follow Jesus. If they could not find him physically, they could not be with him. But why are you telling us this, Vic? Why? Well, it's a bit of a downer, isn't it? No, it's not, because what I'm going to tell you now is that what we have under the new covenant is so much better than the old covenant, so much better than it was in the Gospels. So much different for us now. So much better. Let's go into the new covenant and look at Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's look at that verse very closely again. The writer to the Hebrews, you know, some people say it's Paul, some people say it wasn't. Let's just say the writer to the Hebrews is talking to born-again believers. Yeah, he's talking to born-again Jewish believers in the main in this epistle. But he's writing to believers. So the writer is speaking to whosoevers. And in that sense, he's speaking to us. In that sense, he's speaking to you directly this morning. Now, this verse talks about our conversation being without covetousness. Now, that's not just what we say. That's about our mode. That's about our manner. Not just what we say, but what we do. It's our life, you could say. So we need to live a life without covetousness. We need to be content with what we have. And then it talks about him never leaving nor forsaking us. Now, some people see that and think that it's conditional, a bit like it was under the old covenant. You know, I've heard people say, well, you live without covetousness. You know, you be content and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Really does sound old covenant, but this is new covenant. But that's not what this verse is saying. Look at it carefully. It's not what it's saying. Look at it carefully and see the word for. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now remember back to Joshua, back under the old covenant, 1:7, it gave conditions, didn't it? It gave that list of conditions, be strong, be courageous, stick to the law, don't deviate from the law, then you will be prosperous. Then you will be a success. But this is not what we're seeing here under the new covenant. This is now different in Hebrews. The word that he uses to link those things is the word for. You could use the word because. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, because he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is saying we can live without covetousness. We can be satisfied because we know he is in us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We can do this because he is in us and with us permanently. And that is completely different under the new covenant compared to the old covenant in the Gospels. And remember, the Gospels was old covenant. Everything Jesus said before the cross was old covenant. We need to remember that. We can do this because of what he's done. We can do this because he has provided for us already, that we have him in us, we have him with us permanently. Why do you say permanently, Vic? Because he says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He does not dwell within us if we perform. No. It's we perform because he is in us. We can perform. We can choose to perform, do good deeds, do good works, because he is in us. We don't do good deeds to get him in us. No, that's old. That's so old covenant, so religious, so law-based. That's not for us. We live under the new covenant. Vital difference, vital key to our lives under the new covenant compared to being under the old covenant. It's like the verse in Ephesians that says, we can forgive because we have already been forgiven. It's like the passage in 1 John that talks about God loving us first, so now we can love others. Excuse me, it's like the truth I am always telling you about, that under the new covenant, we should do good things because we have been made righteous. Not that doing good things and good works will make us righteous. No, under the new covenant, when we were born again, we were created in righteousness and true holiness. We were made righteous. If you remember last week, talking about it, that was in our spirit, the real part of us. But when we were born again, we were made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you don't believe me. Here are the new covenant truths for you as a whosoever, as a born again believer. God has done it. God has given it. Now we benefit as a whosoever, not through works, but through faith. Let me say that again. As a whosoever, God has done it for you. God has given it to you. Now we benefit as a whosoever, not through works, but through faith. Hallelujah. Faith and belief that's important under the new covenant, not works. Now, I'm not telling you to stop your good works. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they're not necessary for God to love you, for God to bless you, for God to be with you. Because God loves you, because God has blessed you, because God is with you, that is why you can do and you should do those good works. But God's done his bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at John 6. 28. John 6, 28. Jesus talking to people, and people say to him, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What, as believers, what are the works we have to do? What's all the good deeds we have to do? What do I have to do, Jesus, to be right, to be okay with you? What do I have to do? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is the work, guys. This is the work you have to do. That ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Full stop. There's the works. That's what God expects from us. Belief in Jesus Christ. Believe on him whom he hath sent. God sent Jesus. Our job is to believe in him, have faith in him and what he's done in his finished work. And because of that, all those good works will follow. Can you see that? That's a big difference of the new covenant compared to the old covenant. Belief in Jesus is important. We saw that last week and the week before. All that is required for salvation and all that comes with it is faith in Jesus Christ. All that is required to be saved or to be sozoed. If you haven't seen my two messages about sozo, you need to get them and you need to watch myself and Sean's discussion last week about sozo. When you're born again in your spirit, that's created new and filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, listen to this, people. If you are born again, you have become the dwelling place of the living God. You are the dwelling place of the living God. If you are born again, you have the living God indwelling in you right now. So whithersoever thou goest, he goest. Amen. He is always with you. And that is one of the main reasons, if not the reason, why we can do all the things that's expected of us under the new covenant. Because he is in us. He is with us. Because we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Because we have all we need for life and godliness already in us with him. Wherever you walk, he is there. Wherever you go, he is there. And it's not like Big Brother pointing down and looking at you and watching you to see what you're doing. No, it's with you to help you, to guide you, to counsel you. Hallelujah. And we read that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, what a great verse. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, whatever depths, whatever heights you're in, he is there with you. And that is a biblical truth that you can hold on to as a whosoever living under the new covenant. That whithersoever you goest, he is with you. Not like Joshua and the other saints in the old covenant. They did not have this. Not like the people we see in the Gospels with Jesus or trying to find Jesus. You know, they did not have this. But you may be thinking, and I've heard people saying this to me, you know, well, Vic, I've been in some bad situations and it sure didn't feel like God was there. Yeah, and that's just it. It didn't feel like he was there. It's not that he wasn't there. It's just that you didn't feel that he was there. Now, I'm not condemning, I'm not pointing fingers. I've felt like that myself. But I'm able to tell myself, no, it's just because I don't feel that he's there. It doesn't mean he's not there. What do we believe? Our feelings or the word of God? You may think that he wasn't there. Well, I didn't hear him speaking to me, Vic. Well, were you listening? Were you praying? Quite often tell people when they say, oh, Vic, I just can't hear from God. Well, read his word. He'll speak to you directly. When you were saying you didn't feel God, when you were saying that God's presence wasn't there, were you reading the word? Were you praying? Were you meditating upon his word? Were you trying to listen to him? You may think, well, that's a bit harsh, Vic. Well, maybe it is, but it's the truth. The word says he's with you. The word says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, he must be with you. And if you don't think it is, it's just a feeling. Like I say, what do we believe? Our feelings or the word of God? Amen. When we're born again, we have the living God indwelling within us. And he said he will never leave. Therefore, he must be there all the time. He must be with us all the time. And I'm getting a real handle on that now. I kind of knew it intuitively in the past, but I wasn't really grounded in it. I remember, I probably told you this before, but I remember years and years ago, myself and Nanzi used to go and help out in a church over at the Findhorn Foundation. And we had some other believers that we knew that were saying to us, "Oh, Vic, you can't go over there. You can't go in that place. That's a den of iniquity. That's full of New Agers. That's the stronghold of the enemy. You can't go in there." I remember being told one time, "You'll need 500 intercessors praying with you before you go over there." And I remember thinking at the time, what a load of nonsense. I remember thinking, of course I can go in there. I've got the living God with me. And I just knew that he was more powerful than them. More powerful is he that's in me than he's in the world. I just knew that. I was like, so what was the problem? I kind of knew that. But now I can explain that biblically. I've got the verses. You know, he is with me, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. More powerful is he that is in me than in the world. Through him I can do all things. It's awesome. I am a whosoever. And whithersoever I goest, he is with me. Amen. And the same is true for you. Looking at you right now. You are a whosoever. And whithersoever you goest, he is with you. And that is a biblical truth. You take the Lord with you wherever you go. What a truth. What a powerful, powerful truth to meditate upon this morning, this afternoon, this evening, weeks and months to come. What a powerful truth to rightly divide, to spend time focusing on. I just pray that that is a real encouragement for you this morning. It should be that you, as a whosoever, have the living God inside you. And wherever you go, he is with you. You don't have to ask him to come and help you. You don't have to beg for him to come and be with you in these difficult situations. He's there already. You can turn to him anytime. He's always with you. You're never alone. He has not forsaken you, and he never will. He has not left the building, and he never will. I hope you really believe that truth, and I hope that encourages you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. It is awesome being a whosoever. I love these words. I'm a whosoever. And whithersoever I goest, there he goest too. Good old King James. Powerful, powerful truth, folks, that as a whosoever's, we have him in us. We have that promise. It's not like the old covenant where the Holy Spirit would come and go. It's not like the old covenant where God was this distant entity that we had to obey and come before and perform in order to be blessed. Under the new covenant, we've already been blessed. Under the new covenant, we've all we need for life and godliness. Under the new covenant, we just need faith and belief in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Under the new covenant, we have him with us all the time. That is truly awesome. So much better than old covenant times. So much better than the actual gospel times when Jesus walked the earth. Jesus was one man, could only be with people one place at a time. Now the Holy Spirit is with every single one of us, every second of every single day. That's the truth under the new covenant. Awesome. Hope you got that. Amen.